The Martin Fowler piece on the economic benefit of refactoring is from his ongoing series exploring generative AI in software development. And it's one of the more interesting entries because it challenges a narrative that's been building in the industry. The idea that AI-generated code is essentially free, so technical debt doesn't matter as much as it used to.
The argument Fowler's team is working through is essentially that refactoring has always had an economic justification. You pay a cost now to reduce future development friction, but that the calculus changes in interesting ways when AI is generating a large fraction of your code base. On one hand, AI can also help with refactoring, so the labor cost of the cleanup drops. On the other hand, AI tends to generate code that's internally consistent, but may not be architecturally coherent at the system level.
The HN comments on this thread are characteristically pointed. Several senior engineers are arguing that the real problem isn't that AI generates bad code, it's that AI generates code that's locally reasonable but doesn't respect the implicit conventions and constraints of a code base that evolved over years. When a human writes code that doesn't fit, other humans notice and push back in code review. When AI writes it, the mismatch is harder to identify because the code looks syntactically and semantically clean.
That's a subtle but important point. Technical debt traditionally comes from people making shortcuts under time pressure. And those shortcuts tend to look like shortcuts, commented out code, duplicated logic, naming conventions that don't match. AI debt can look polished while still creating architectural problems that compound over time.
The refactoring economic argument ties directly into what Prized is trying to solve. This is one of the YC S26 companies. Their pitch is that non-engineering staff should be able to build secure internal tools without waiting for engineering bandwidth. Think finance teams that need a custom approval workflow, HR teams that need a specific data view, operations teams that need a reporting dashboard. Currently, those requests sit in a queue behind product work.
The HN launch thread for Prized has 26 comments, which for a YC launch is modest, but the discussion quality is high. The central tension people are raising is the security claim. Building a tool for internal use sounds low risk, but internal tools touch real data, customer records, financial information, personnel files. The question of how you give non-engineers the ability to build data access layers without creating accidental privilege escalation or SQL injection vectors is genuinely hard.
Prized's answer, from what I can read in the thread, is that they maintain the security primitives as a managed layer that non-engineers configure rather than write. The non-engineer specifies what they want, show me all orders over a certain value from this customer, and Prized generates the query within a sandboxed permission model. That's the right architectural approach, but the attack surface for secure no-code tools historically has been extensive.
The Cosmos escape disclosure from Wiz is a good counterpoint to read alongside this conversation. Wiz researchers found a vulnerability in Azure Cosmos DB's infrastructure, specifically in the Jupyter Notebook integration that Microsoft added, that allowed them to achieve container escape and access other customers' databases. The name is a play on escape in the container escape sense.
This is a significant cloud security finding. Cosmos DB is a globally distributed NoSQL database used by a substantial number of enterprise customers. The vulnerability chain required chaining several issues together: a notebook execution environment that wasn't properly isolated, insufficient credential scoping, and a path that allowed lateral movement across tenant boundaries. Microsoft has patched it, but the disclosure process and the specifics of the chain are worth studying.
What Wiz has been doing consistently over the last few years is demonstrating that multi-tenant cloud infrastructure has isolation boundaries that are much more fragile than the marketing suggests. ChaosDB in 2021, Extra Replica in 2022, and now Cosmos Escape. The pattern is the same each time. A feature added for usability, in this case, embedded notebooks, creates an unexpected surface that bridges isolation boundaries designed for a simpler threat model.
The GoLLM SDK from Grafana connects to the developer tooling discussion. They've open-sourced an SDK called the AI SDK that provides Go abstractions for building LLM backends, handling streaming, tool calling, context management, alongside a companion React library for the frontend. The interesting thing about Grafana releasing this is that it's coming from a company with serious infrastructure at scale, not a startup trying to find product market fit.
The Grafana angle matters because they've been running their AI features in production for Grafana Cloud, which has a very large user base. An SDK that comes out of production use rather than greenfield design tends to have different trade-offs. The streaming and tool calling patterns in particular are areas where a lot of smaller libraries have made choices that look fine in demos but break under real network conditions.
The Claude Account tool is a small but genuinely useful developer utility. It lets you switch between multiple Claude Code accounts without having to go through the full login flow each time. For developers who are working across multiple organizations or running personal and professional accounts, this is the kind of quality of life improvement that saves maybe 5 minutes per switch, but happens often enough to matter.
The GPA Zero Flow announcement from Ben Nuttall deserves a real spotlight here. GPA Zero is the Python library for Raspberry Pi GPIO programming. It's been the standard way to teach electronics and physical computing for years, and it scored 111 points on HN, which reflects genuine community enthusiasm. Flow is a new programming model within GPA Zero that represents GPIO interactions as data flows rather than event callbacks.
The callback model has been the default for physical computing since forever. You write a function that fires when a button is pressed, another that fires when a sensor crosses a threshold. The problem is that callback-heavy code gets difficult to reason about when you have multiple sensors and actuators interacting. Flow modeling lets you describe the relationships between inputs and outputs declaratively, which makes complex behaviors easier to express and test.
For anyone who teaches electronics or physical computing, in schools, in makerspaces, in university courses, this is a meaningful pedagogical improvement. The Raspberry Pi Foundation has used GPIO Zero as a teaching tool precisely because it abstracts away the lower-level GPIO complexity. Flow takes that abstraction one level further in a way that aligns well with how people actually think about physical systems.